ethics and the laws and et cetera. And the best moment for me was when somebody from Broward County came up to me. And it must have been a procurement officer. There were only two electeds there, none from Broward. But this woman was eager to find out how to get this ethics commission going in Broward County, which was, I thought, very positive for South Florida, because the more, you know, we're all interconnected. And so the more Broward County thinks about and acts on ethical behavior, the better it is for Palm Beach County. Judge Rogers, I think I pretty much
did. Sure, I think so. It was very informative, and I will hope that all of us, when we get a chance to attend things like that, would make ourselves available, because it's...
Yeah.
And then we got a chance to meet. I met my counterpart, the executive director, and attorney general, I mean, inspector general, and it's... And then, you know, you just learn so much from the hallway conversations, more so than the canned meetings, really. And I thought it was very good, very glad to have the opportunity to go. Tammy, are we still on the wait?
Nope. We,
I just left Ross down there to cover my items.
Okay.
Uh-oh. So you're on.
Lenny's still busy, so Ross is going to handle it. And this is about my seventh presentation today on a different topic, so...
You're pretty good at it, then.
Well, I don't know.
Now, specifically, this would be number five.
Okay.
This regards, just by way of background, a request that was sent to this commission by the Board of County Commissioners. They were, and this was the item involving Kilday Urban Design. So I think each of the commissioners received the email that was sent from Bob Weissman. And I thought that the issue was an important one, and that there was a perspective of the county staff that needs to be considered, as well as the fact that even though one entity was kicked over to the Ethics Commission, there really are three different entities that are in the exact same position, being consultants with facilities and management. So I was happy to hear that Ms. Wolf could be here to answer your questions and also basically give you a brief presentation about the issues involved.
No, we're not being asked to vote on anything regarding this matter.
Not necessarily, unless the sense of the commission is that it's appropriate for you to do so. But there's no, in normal circumstances in the future, I hope to bring you a completed letter, advisory opinion that can be changed, can be stricken, but it gives you some, you know, degree of comfort that the entire issue has been vetted, you know, from a legal standpoint. But I haven't had the opportunity to do this on these issues.
I have studied this memorandum in the form of an email, and I think it's of sufficient importance that we not, I personally feel, that I would prefer to wait. I'm happy to hear. I mean, you may overwhelm me so much with your presentation that I might feel differently at the end, but at this point, I would like to see it go through a formal vetting.
And from the staff perspective, that was what was intended for all these issues, just to be to start the dialogue on these issues, because once decisions are made, they have implications for other relationships.
Right.
But in any event, to get the information, that's why Ms. Wolf is here. So, all right, Ms. Wolf.
I'm Audrey Wolf. I'm Director of Facilities Development and Operations for the county. FDO has many missions and provides many services to county government as well as most of the state agencies. And all of the services and programs we provide have a counterpart in private industry, because we are providing support services. One of those services is to act as the developer of public facilities on behalf of the county and state agencies. Within FDO, that's Facilities Development Operations, within FDO there are two divisions that primarily carry out that mission. The first one is Property and Real Estate Management Division, and they are directed by Ross Herring. The second division is Capital Improvements Division, and they are directed by John Cheshire. I am both Ross and John's supervisor. While each division has separate responsibilities in each of their disciplines, which is obvious by the title of their division, they share, acting as a team, responsibility for ensuring that the properties we acquire can be used for their intended purposes and developed within the budget that has been set forth by the board. These activities that we go through to kind of make those two determinations are collectively referred to as development due diligence or property evaluation. The development due diligence is performed primarily by a team of consultants on properties that are selected by PREM staff. That's very important to know that only PREM employees, only county employees, are actually involved in site selection the way we do business. Let me quickly touch on how we do that site selection so you can understand how it relates to the property evaluation. Prior to beginning a search, the user department will evaluate the criteria that are important to them in either service area, operational requirements, whatever those things that affect a property are. They identify those to us. We research all of the county-owned properties to determine if anything we currently own meets that criteria. If there are none that meet that criteria, we will then, PREM staff again, will make a determination if we think there are multiple properties in the private sector that can meet those operational requirements, you know, generally. If so, we will issue a public RFP to determine, you know, who's interested potentially in selling the property, and it goes through an entire public process. If no county-owned sites are available and we don't think there is more than one site, then PREM staff will identify a particular site that it would like to evaluate. There are very specific and unique requirements for our properties. It is very infrequent there are multiple properties that will meet our criteria. In the last 20 years that Ross and I have been doing this, there's only been two times we've done a public RFP for site selection. It's very rare that there are multiple properties that meet our unique characteristics. If it turns out that no properties can meet at all, because quite often we will do multiple site selections, not concurrent, but sequential, multiple site selections for a single facility. And let me give you an example for a fire station. They may have four criteria. They want to be close to the center of their service area. They want multi-directional access. They want the ability to secure an emergency signal. And they want the configuration of the land to be able to accept their standard design so they don't have to keep redesigning, you know, the fire station saves money. There may not be a site that meets all four criteria. If we can't come up with a site that meets all four criteria, we go back to the user department. We say there are none. They would say, hey, we still need to provide fire service. We still need to get our level of service where it needs to be. We'll go back and evaluate our site criteria. Maybe they'll determine another station is in the correct location where they can give up the multi-directional access because that station, you know, can cover for them. If that happens, we then, PREM, starts the search all over again from the very beginning looking at county-owned properties. So we do not evaluate multiple properties even when we're doing this site selection ourselves at the same time. These single non-county sites that PREM may identify are publicly known through formal and informal means. First, there's a public discussion of the facilities plans, whether they be long-term, short-term, or specific service delivery needs of the user department. We most of the time are having public discussions with other governmental entities. Most of the sites, our facilities, are actually in the municipal limits. There's constituent commissioner correspondence that's going on, as well as user department planning efforts directly with the communities that they're serving. All of these are conducted concurrent or prior to the due diligence and the property evaluation, the point at which we bring on the consultant. The examples of the types of services that these consultants are actually providing are master planning, site planning, soil testing, vegetative and wetland surveys. They review the land development code and other codes and approvals that may be necessary. and also evaluate the site for operational compliance. All of the tasks they perform are technical or ministerial. They don't provide any site selection, nor are they making any recommendations directly to the board. Only the board ultimately has the authority to approve a particular land. That would come on a recommendation from the department, not from the consultants. They are only providing the information by which we formulate an opinion as to the suitability of the property. So I hope that that's clarified the difference between site selection and what they're actually doing in property evaluation. We do use a team of planning consultants to perform that development and due diligence study in order to have access to diverse knowledge required for our unique facilities, to have sufficient resources to match the uneven workload that comes with the project, and for cost effectiveness. The planning consultants are selected as a result of a competitive selection process conducted pursuant to state statute which governs the selection of these regulated professionals. It's known as CCNA. SDO has undertaken RFPs for planning consultants 5 times since 2001. In those 5 competitive procurements, the number of firms submitting proposals has steadily increased from 6 to 9. There has never been a reduction in the number. That's how many firms at a time have submitted. Over the course of all 5 procurements, a total of 23 different firms have submitted proposals 1 or more times. Most recently, in February of 2010, there were 9 respondents with 3 firms chosen. Contracts for the 3 recommended firms were all on the May 18th agenda. Only one of them, UDKS, was selected for referral to you. The evaluation criteria by which we hire the consultants are general. It's past experience, including past performance, their approach to the work ahead, the volume of the work, and the location of the firm, local preference, and SBE participation. Since the actual work that they'll be assigned under this contract is unknown at the time of the contract award, the county has included language in the contract requiring the consultant to disclose prior to the issuance of the task order that actually gives them the work all relationships of any kind with interest in any way related to the property that they will ultimately be evaluating. That is in standard in our contract. Staff reviews these disclosures to determine if we believe there to be a conflict or even a perception of a conflict. Most disclosed relationships are not conflicts. Most typical are the ongoing relationships with a developed adjacent property. For example, we're redeveloping the Stockade property. You may know where it is on Fairgrounds. The consultant who is helping us with the redevelopment may represent 4 developed properties all around there, whether it's ongoing easements or they're putting up a new garage or something like that. A second would be a relationship with a property owner that creates like a secondary or a tertiary relationship. We're developing a property A. The property across the street is owned by John Smith, and John Smith may also be a partner in some other relationship. Those are kind of the ones that are most typical, typically do not provide any kind of conflict. And we would waive those by staff, usually with conditions that require them to tell us if anything regarding that relationship changes in the future. If staff believes that there is a conflict or a perception of a conflict, we will not recommend a waiver. We will assign the work to another consultant who does not have the conflict or the perceived conflict. There is no guarantee of work to any consultant amongst these 3, and staff can assign the work to whichever consultant it determines to be appropriate. And all of this is done before they get the work assignment. In some situations, we've actually gone back into awarded work and done project and fact-specific waivers and conditions developed to address conflicts or perceived conflicts that arise after that weren't in existence at the time that we entered into the task order. I have documentation, I don't know if you're interested, of all these different examples. The contract requires the county to provide, during the course of the contract, will be required to provide specific site information on these properties that we're evaluating that we have not purchased yet to the consultant. As I said before, the property evaluated is already publicly known. The information provided to the consultant to perform its work is already a public record, as are all of the documents that are produced, obviously, by the consultant given to us. The contract does require the consultant to perform to attend various meetings and learn about the county's physical plant and operational requirements. These are requirements that are unique to the county and are not of benefit to other developers. For example, you may sit in a meeting and learn that fire rescue would prefer to have all of the access, ingress and egress to its fire stations in a way that it doesn't have to make any right-hand turns, reduces the liability of an accident. This is not information that's really commercially marketable. You may have a lot of details associated with book drop-off operational characteristics when we're citing and determining. Or you may be doing Palm Trans bus washing facility and have environmental requirements that are unique to the federal funding. So this is information. The information that they are taking away is just in that category of general knowledge that you would get from doing more projects or gained from time on the job. We do not believe that any of the information that they get at this meeting is commercially marketable. The consultants technically do have a contract with the Board of County Commissioners, but it's a contract with the board in its proprietary capacity, which is implemented by my department. FDO is a department completely separate from planning, zoning, and building, whose responsibility it is to implement the board's regulatory authority. There are laws in place and codes that also separate and acknowledge that the two these are two different things and make it unlawful for the board to treat any development petitions or applications that are brought forward on its own behalf different from those of a private developer. So we are treated the same as a private developer by the codes and through the process. That being said, we are aware that there could be a perception of conflict, either stemming from the level of public knowledge there may be about a site, and just in general, the consultant relationships with private developers. And we've implemented additional safeguards and disclosures to ensure transparency in our work. One of them is that all the site selection is performed solely by county staff. There is a competitive selection process to perform the due diligence or property evaluation, and the tasks are limited to exactly those that are technical or ministerial in nature. The selection process already recognizes the volume of previous work, which favors firms who have not worked on county projects or who have little previous work with the county or less. The contract requires disclosures of all related relationships prior to any particular task assignment, and the relationships are considered by the staff or the board depending on staff's evaluation of that conflict or relationship. In the case of the UDS contract, which is the one that was actually referred to in that company, they also internally separate the workload with one partner handling the public clients and another partner handling the private clients. It is staff's opinion that the safeguards are good faith efforts to address even the perception of a conflict while carrying out our responsibilities using best business practices in a fiscally responsible manner and maintaining consistency with our other public objectives in terms of procurement. Myself and I guess not Ross yet.
He's right behind you.
Oh, sorry. Myself and Ross are here to answer any questions that you may have.
I have a few questions, if I can, Mr. Chair. Just so I'm clear, Ms. Wolf, we're talking about consultants who simultaneously represent the county before the Board of County Commissioners and then represent other private entities before the same Board of County Commissioners?
They may make a presentation to the Board of County Commissioners on our behalf, but it's just the technical presentation. A staff person, if we are actually presenting to the Board of County Commissioners in their regulatory capacity, There will be a county staff member there to do any negotiation of conditions or accept any conditions that the board may place. They may actually provide the technical aspect of it.
You said there were 9 applicants last time around for this particular contract?
Yes.
What was the value of the contract in terms of dollars in 2009?
Actually, I did not. That's one of the only pieces I did not bring. It varies from year to year.
In prior years, what has it been?
I don't know. I'd have to get that information to you.
Okay. It's probably more than $100,000, I presume.
Yes.
Less than $1 million?
Yes, I would think so.
Okay.
I think I add something to this?
Yes.
Did I not read that this firm, I believe it was the Mecca Farms property, received over a period of 3 years $2 million, or was that 4 years? Did I read that in the Sun Sentinel?
Yes.
Okay. So what was that number over what period of time, and for which property?
That was it. When we were taking forward the, still consistent with the services, we were bringing forward the DRI on behalf of the board.
When these presentations are made to the Board of County Commissioners, it probably depends on the particular location, whether it's a legislative or quasi-judicial proceeding. Is that correct?
It depends on the nature of the application.
Right. Zoning as opposed to comp plan changes and so forth and so on. I'm correct on that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not a local government lawyer, so you'll have to help me a little bit on that.
All kinds of presentations, and I or a staff member would always be listed as the agent.
Okay. All right. So I guess during these preparations for these presentations, private vendor would have access to county staff. The county would be their, quote, client.
Yes.
Okay. And obviously they'd have to work in detail with those folks.
Yes.
Okay. How many of the 9 that applied for this RFP were local as opposed to out of county?
I believe they were all local.
No out of county applied whatsoever? I thought your presentation said there were some out of county.
I don't think that in that particular we had any out of county that did not have an office in Palm Beach County. I think they were all in county.
Have we ever had a situation where out of county vendors applied?
I would say yes, we have. It's very rare. Obviously, the nature of this work is knowledge of local codes. So the more work that you've done in Palm Beach County gives you greater knowledge and assists you in the selection process. It also makes it more difficult and more less cost-effective to provide those services, which makes you, obviously less competitive as well. But it is not atypical. You may also have a firm that practices in multiple counties, part of a larger corporation.
Right, a larger engineering firm or development firm. Okay. And so I understand the issue is not so much, the way I understood it, with site selection as it is with actual development after the selection is made. I'm not aware of any issue or controversy with regard to these outside vendors being involved whatsoever in site selection.
We just wanted to clarify, because that's the part where, from our perspective, the public thinks that there is less transparency in what we're doing as far as what activities were taking place. All of the activities that we're doing with the consultants are already in the public realm at that point, and I think that was the reason for separating the two. Any investigations into properties or evaluation of properties before it's really gotten into the public realm is all done by county employees, not by the consultants.
And those are the procedures that were put in place after the county engineer had all those issues regarding roads and properties he owned, the former county engineer.
I'm not sure. They've been here as long as I have.
Okay. I thought it was more than 10 years ago, so it's been a while. Okay. Those are the questions I have, Mr. Chair.
Very clearly, is it possible for the consultant to obtain information that would benefit their other clients? Or are you saying that it's all public anyway and they could not use the information that they get through this task to benefit their other clients?
I don't believe they can. Everything okay. that we have in our records is a public,
record.
Exactly.
Okay. So the work that they do on a property for you?
Yes.
Will be a public record.
Yes, absolutely. And people are aware that they are working on tasks for us and often ask for that work product because for something they're doing. But that's other consultants asking to use our work product that's already in the public realm, not this particular.
So the only benefit that the consultant might get would be able to brag that they had a county contract, which anyone who does business with the county could?
That's correct.
So there's no other benefit that you're...
And when I say the benefit, this is really not a benefit in terms of insider knowledge. The benefit that they get by getting this information is that they have it. This is all data. These are facts and data that may translate to another property. For example, if they do a